Vacation Bible School is going on starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. I know Pastor Aaron is so excited. It looks like it went amazing at Mansfield campus. But if you have a kiddo or you know somebody with a kid, go to the check-in desk, the kids check-in, and you can get more details about that. But also, Awaken is going on tonight. And so that is anywhere between the ages of like a senior in high school to like 30-ish years old, you are invited to come out. We're going to do a prayer and worship night. There's going to be donuts, coffee, childcare is provided. And so we want to see you guys and get to know you. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, by the way, I'm Pastor Tim. This is my wife, Pastor Noelle. We're the young adults pastors here. And so we'll be running that tonight. We're super excited for all the young adults and some. But, hey, we also have Elmira Fest. If you guys know what this is, it's just the best. You got to go. If you want to sign up, we're bringing Jesus to Elmira, and we need your help. If you want to sign up as we leave the sanctuary from the right, there's going to be a table. You can see Brittany Gilbert. She'll be signing some people up. And then lastly, we have Healing Journey classes. This is just awesome. If you want to start your healing journey, go ahead and contact Dan and Charlene Wallenbeck, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it later. But let's get right into service. If you would, can stand up, and we're just going to pray and invite the Lord to have his way today. Lord, we are so thankful for you. Lord, your word says to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and praise. So we're so thankful, God. We're thankful for all that you've done. We're thankful for all that you're doing in our lives. We're thankful for all you're going to do here today, God. Today is a day of the supernatural, and we are excited, and we are expecting great and marvelous things. God, have your way in the service from the very beginning to the very, very end. Holy Spirit, have your way. We're believing for lives to be changed. We're believing for people to be healed, for relationships to be restored. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Have your way. We love you so much. And all God's people said, amen, amen.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? What I'd love to do is invite you to come on down to the altar. And as you're coming down, just say hello to somebody. Say hello to somebody. Say, do you know Jesus today? I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I love God. It's such a great morning. It's such a great morning. I think we're ready. I think we're ready. Y'all know this one, so sing it with us. Something happens when we call your name. 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 Something happens. Can we sing that? Come on. Something happens when we call your name. Something happens when we call your name. Something happens when we call your name. Something happens when we come on and clap. Sing mountains move. Mountains move when we call your name. Mountains move when we call your name. Mountains move when we call your name. Something happens when we call your name. Mountains move when we call your name. Mountains move when we call your name. Mountains move when we call your name. Something happens when we call your name. Sing, chains are loose. Chains are loose when we call your name. Chains are loose when we call your name. Chains are loose when we call your name. Something happens when we call your name. Chains are loose when we call your name. Chains are loose when we call your name. Chains are loose when we call your name. Something happens when we call your name. Sing this last part in faith. We break through. We break through when we call your name. Sing it out.
We break through.
Something happens when
I call your
sing it up.
Name.
We break I want you to know that I'll win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I'll win.
Come on, come on, say.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I'll win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know.
Shout of praise today, yeah.
prevail. For the God I serve knows only how to triumph. No, my God will never fail. Sing that out, say, my God. No, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Sing the weapon.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Take what the enemy meant for evil, And you turn it for good.
Come on.
You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Yes, you do, God. You turn it for good. I've seen it, and I know you turn it. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. Death could not hold you down, and you are the risen King. You're seated in majesty, yeah, and you are the risen King. See how. Seated in majesty.
Seated in majesty.
Yes, God, you are the
risen
King. Death could not hold. Yeah. Sing, you are the risen King. Yeah. And you're seated in majesty, yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah.
say death could not.
Hallelujah. For Lord would say there are some in the room that are struggling with the victory. You stepped out in faith, you've stood strong, but it seems like the circumstances are not getting any better, but they're seeming to get worse. The Lord would say, stop looking at your situation. Look unto me, the author and the perfecter of your faith. I've already paid for the victory. I've already accomplished the victory. Don't take your eyes off walking in faith, says the Lord. If you walk by faith, I will accomplish what you're believing for. And even though it might take time and it might not seem like a full understanding of why it's taking so long, but God wants you to know today that He'll take care of business. He's already won the victory, amen? He's already won the victory. It's not your fight anymore. It's your responsibility to rest in faith and declare the goodness of God. Don't change your confession. Turn to someone and say, don't change your confession. A verse this week that's just been just so good to me. I've just so thoroughly enjoyed. It's Titus chapter 3. It says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish. Turn to someone and say, I was foolish. Disobedient. Turn to someone and say, yep, that was me. Led astray. Amen. Slaves to various passions and pleasures. Amen. Passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when, but shout when.
When.
Come on, shout but.
When.
But shout when.
When.
But when. The goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His mercy. How many of you are glad God is merciful? I thank God for His mercy, don't you? Some of you are saying, what is mercy? Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. Ooh, come on now. We all got something to shout about, amen? But according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who He poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I just want you to know today that God hasn't given up on you. God hasn't given up on your situation, don't you? You'll watch God come through. And you know what? This is where sometimes as you're growing in the Lord, He's not going to give you the answer the moment you ask. Now, the answer is already there, but He's going to see how long you're willing to trust Him. Got to grow up someday. Say amen.
Amen.
I love babies in Christ. Here, can I give you some wisdom? If you need prayer, always go to a new babe in Christ. Have them pray for you. Why? Because God spoils them. But as you grow up, you learn how to walk by faith, which means it's not happening as quick as you want. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you keep your focus on Jesus, even if the devil tries to bring things against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God is faithful, amen? He'll come through. He always does. He always does. I don't always like His timing. I've talked to Him a few times about timing. But it always works. He makes all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. So you can have this confidence in Him that if you ask, you shall receive. Amen. Wow, God is so good. I've got stuff to share with you, but we're going to do a little meet and greet first. We're going to do it short this week. Is that all right? Because I do want to share some things where I've been, what's been going on, some great things happening. And so if you'll go take 5 minutes, I want to remind you what we're doing with meet and greet. Be respectful. Not everybody is still comfortable. If they don't want you to touch them, just love them from afar. We love you. Come on now. Take 3 to 5 minutes and greet somebody you don't know. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Some of you wonder where my spouse is. Pastor Rhonda is in Oklahoma. She is preaching. So I'll give you our schedule. How many of you knew we were with Brother Kenneth Copeland? We were out in Dallas, Texas, and actually Fort Worth. That was really rebuked sharply by the folks out there when I called Fort Worth, Texas, Dallas. It didn't go over really well. I went to the Stark Yards, bought my first cowboy boots. Now I need a horse and a cow. Amen. And I've got room for that. I do have room for that. So we were out there. We left two Sundays ago, and we were there till we left the next Sunday. Pastor Cody preached a bomb last week, didn't he? Wasn't it awesome? And then we were home. Obviously, I left again on Wednesday to Tampa, Florida, and we are establishing a new His Tabernacle, Florida, down in Winter Haven, Florida, and it's about 55 miles east of Tampa. So we were down there looking for buildings, looking at things, and talking to the pastor, talking to the people in the area. I actually talked to a pastor, trying to get the flavor of the region. And so we have a whole family moving down. Pastor Randy Jackson, as well as his sons, are all moving down, and they're going to be doing it will be an actual His Tabernacle in Florida. So it'll be our first campus in Florida. For those who don't know, we have, I think, 11 campuses, and it's so exciting. On Tuesdays, I have the privilege of meeting with all of these pastors. We meet with, of course, we have here, we have Ithaca, we have Mansfield, New Brunswick, Canada. We have Kentucky, we have West Virginia. Yes, right, that's her church right there. And then we have three in Mexico. We need to keep praying for Merida, Mexico. They still have shut down Merida. Merida, they still cannot have church, but Campeche is doing phenomenal, and Cancun is doing great. So if you're ever down in Cancun, we can set you up with a good church. Amen. You just got to be able to speak Spanish. And then our church in Uganda is also shut down for another 62 days. And so we need to keep them in prayer as really nothing bad is happening. The Delta hasn't even done anything, but the government has just shut them all down. We also have a pastor that we're working with in New Jersey now, which is very exciting. And now we're going to launch this new campus in Winter Haven, Florida. So God has been doing great things, and it's been exciting seeing how many people's lives are being transformed and changed. And I want you to turn to someone and say, thank God for you. The reason for that is because without you, none of that would be possible. That means lives are being changed literally all over the world because of you. Last week I was on, for my short stay home, I was on King TV. Has anybody ever heard of King TV? It's 182 nations. We're on there every single week, as well as we did a special last week, and we'll do another special this week on King TV. Now, my wife and I are excited. I left on Wednesday for Tampa. Pastor Rhonda left for Thursday for Oklahoma to preach a No More. I don't know, what's she teaching? Now, is it No More Hurt? I don't know. She's teaching a conference down there in Oklahoma. Victory Every Day. Amen. She's teaching a conference down Victory Every Day down in Oklahoma. She'll be home tonight around 2 a.m. Jesus help us all. Amen. And then, praise the Lord, next Sunday after church, my wife and I will fly down to Marco Island, and we'll be on for 3 days live with Faith TV. Amen. We'll be on live with Faith TV, and we'll be touching, I think it's almost 200 million people all together. So we'll have the opportunity to share testimony and stir faith in people. So it's really interesting, right? We're in the middle of a cornfield, used to be a pot field, and God is blessing us where we are, and the Lord is expanding our touch. And all that is because of who we are. This is not about two people. This is about us. Wherever we are, you are. Amen? Wherever you are, well, I won't say that because some of you shouldn't be some of the places you are. Amen. Amen. But Jesus is there with you. You want to keep that in remembrance. So stay clean. So awesome things. I just wanted to share with you great things that are happening. Everybody said, did you get a good vacation down at Brother Copeland's? The answer is no. You have never been to one of those things, I can tell. It is 9 a.m. to noon, and you're sitting. Everybody said, wow, you got second row. Listen, second row meant you're sitting on a folding chair with a pad about this big for 3 hours. You needed hands laid on your hiney by the end of the 3 hours. Then you got about an hour and a half off. After the hour and a half off, you're back in from 2 to 5. And then you get another hour and a half off, and then you're there from 7 to 10, 10:30, or 11. In fact, on Friday night, Brother Copeland preached 3 straight hours. Glory to the Lord. I wrote phenomenal notes, but don't remember any of it because my hand was hurting and my buttocks was hurting. Amen. And so it's just great faith building. And God's been so good. So thank you for being patient with us as we've been traveling and allowing the staff to preach. And I know you're not getting any junk. Amen. You're getting solid, good food. Many of you don't know, we are a one-voice church. So everyone said, Pastor Cody, you preached an amazing message. I want you to know that all the campuses preach the same message every week, all over the world. We all preach the same message. It's called the One Voice Church. So if that message that Pastor Cody preached here, it was being preached in all the other campuses, and I write those sermons usually by Wednesdays. So this morning as I'm preaching, this message is being preached in Africa. This morning as I'm preaching, it's being preached down in Mexico. Amen. This morning as we preach, it's preaching all over the nation and will be preached soon in Tampa, Florida area, Winter Haven. Amen. So I just want to share those things with you. Great things. Bible college, you need to sign up for Bible college. Some of you are bored spiritually. You've taken rock solid faith. You've taken all these other courses and you're saying, I'm a little bored, Pastor. Well, either take rock solid faith again or take a Bible college class. You can take it for credit, or you can take it for, what do they call that? As an audit, where you don't have to take tests or anything. And it does cost, that's right. Kathy, you took a lot of classes. How many classes did you take? Do you remember? At least 10, 15? Yeah, she's taken a lot of classes. She has a master's degree. She was a teacher for how many years? For 40 years, she was a teacher in our local area. Glory to God. And so I would encourage you to join the Bible school. If you have not, now if you want to get a full accreditation, we are a campus for Southeastern University. And you can get a full college degree right here on campus. This would be right here, a full degree with an Assemblies of God college down in Lakeland, Florida. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm babbling, but so many amazing things are happening. We cannot not share them. You need to know that we're not sitting still. That this church is on the move. So right when we get back from Florida next week, from Marco Island, we get back on Wednesday. I believe Wednesday night on, what is it, Friday? Friday and Saturday is Elmira Fest. Amen. I struggle because I still call it Rock the City. So I'm not allowed to say that anymore. But we're going to give away a car. We're going to be blessing people with food. We've got so many fun things. We're going to be preaching out there. It's going to be an amazing time at Grove Park. You want to start inviting people now. The bouncy houses for the kids. It's going to be just an awesome time. So this church is not sitting still. We are moving. We are shaking. Great things are happening. And God is changing lives. And that's what it's all about. Amen. I just want to give a quick shout out. If I could have the Kinneys stand up real quick and turn around. They are our, Al is one of our board members. They lived here for many years and now they live in Indiana. And they were just honored for 10 years of, I always say it incorrectly, tell me the name of it again, of Healing Journey. I always call it Freedom Journey or something like that. My staff gets mad about how I term things. So it's called Healing Journey, and sign-ups, it starts this week. If you have a broken heart, if you are wounded inside, your soul needs health. You need to join Healing Journey. They start this week. Just go out to the foyer and say, I'd like to join Healing Journey. There is a cost to it, and we don't get the cost. It goes to the national organization. This is an international ministry, but so many have gone through, and they come out healthy. You need your soul healed. The Bible says in John, in 3 John verse 2, it says, I pray that you'll be healthy in all things. And the Bible talks about being healthy in your soul. You need your soul, intellect, emotions, and will healed. So if you've not joined Healing Journey and you need it, This week, you need to sign up. Now, all these commercials are absolutely free, but I'm doing them because I just want you to know amazing stuff is happening. God is moving, and you and I get to be part of what Jesus is doing. Amen? Aren't you excited? Welcome with me, Emily.
Hi, good morning. So I am going to be reading out of a scripture today that most of us probably like have instilled in our hearts at this point, which is Deuteronomy 28. But I really want to emphasize on the obedience part. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. The fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. And then it goes on to saying, you know, we all know, blessed you shall be in the city, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your harvest, or the produce of your ground will increase. Blessed shall be your basket, blessed shall be when you go in, when you go out. And then it says, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all which you set your hand to do. And it says, you shall lend and not borrow, and that you will be above and never beneath. And that is how blessed you would be. And I think that's an awesome point, that you will be so blessed that you will never have to borrow from anybody else, but you will be the one who lends to people, that he will set you above and never beneath. And all of this comes with one condition, which is obeying the commands of God. So I think I want to touch on something, which is obviously obedience, but the reason why is because I think a lot of the times when we tithe or when we give our offerings or in any other area, I think that sometimes we do it out of obligation because we think that we need to do it. But the Bible says that we need to obey, not tithe because you're obligated, but because you have to obey God. But why do we obey God? Because we love God. Jesus said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, hold on. Okay. I get a little nervous. I'm sorry. And then even in Genesis 22:18, this is talking about Abraham. God said, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And I know I'm supposed to be talking about tithes and offerings, but I want to talk about obedience because God commands us to give our 10% of our income. God commands us to give to the needy. Give your offerings, give your tithe. You know, if you have always questioned like, well, why should I give? It's because you love God. Like, how many of us love God? Like, raise your hand. I know that I do. And if we say that we love him, then that follows obedience. Everything else is just a byproduct of when we obey God. So I want to encourage you today, if you actually want to see the blessing of God upon your life, you're not going to get it by feeling obligated to do something. You're going to get it because you're being obedient out of your love for God. That is how you're going to see the true blessing of God, by being obedient to his word. So I will go ahead and do the supernatural declaration. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Okay, so if I obey, I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They're tripping me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. So go ahead and come and give your tithes and offering.
Something happens when I call your name. 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 Mountains move.
Mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
Something happens when I call your name.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
You know, I wish we actually got that song. I mean, really understand that song. Because when we call on the name of Jesus, there's nothing impossible. Amen. This is important because we're going to be talking a little bit about this morning. Last week, Pastor Cody was able to set in order that it is always, shout always, shout always, not sometimes, not on just the special people, not on the special roulette wheel of God, but always God's will to heal. Is it always God's will to save? Does God want all to be saved? Amen. You cannot separate the blood and the body. The blood always represents forgiveness, and the body always represents healing. So if you accept salvation for all, then you've got to accept healing for all. You can't throw one out without the other. Now, the other thing that was interesting that Pastor Cody was able to bring up was so many Christians have said over the years, in fact, we have somebody right now being ministered to or actually doing some training. One of our young leaders is out in California. And she was shocked to find out how many people that are there don't believe it's God's will to heal. And I want you to know that you cannot separate these two things. You've got to establish this in your heart, because if you don't establish, you can't pray in faith. Now, they gave me extra time today because I felt the anointing of Kenneth Copeland come upon me. Just kidding. But this message is so important, and I've got so much information for you, because it is so necessary because of what God wants to do. I want you to realize that God can do nothing outside of you. No, God can do all things. God has made a choice. God chose to work through people. Amen. Every time there was a deliverance, every time, well, I can name off the names, Abraham, Moses, Jacob, we can talk about Isaac, we can talk about David, we can talk about Esther, we can talk about all of the great men and women of God in the Bible, even Jesus, who came down and gave up all of his heavenly glory to live as a man. And he did not do one mighty miracle until he was anointed from on high at his water baptism. All things work through man. God works through you. Turn to someone and say, God works through you. When you don't understand this, then you just look at the preachers as they've got to do their job. I want you to know every person in this room, everyone that's watching on live stream, is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has made a calling to us. God has given a command to us. And this is why the church at large has diminished. This is why the church at large are closing buildings. Not because it's God's will, but because the churches have stopped being churches and they become religious institutions. That is not God's plan. God did not send his son to start a religious institution. God sent his son to create a family, a body, an army to do his will on earth as it is in heaven. The new covenant. Now listen, if you have not joined Rock Solid Faith, I only have one question for you. Why not? is being taught so many times during the week. You can catch it online. You can watch it online for free. You can watch and get the entire education. You need rock solid faith. What is that? That is part of our Next Steps program, where you will learn what you believe. Turn to someone and say, ignorance is not bliss. Tell somebody else, ignorance is still dumb. Amen. So whether it's willful ignorance or whether it's just because you've never been taught, you in this house have an opportunity to be taught. So be taught. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Turn to someone and say, it's time to grow up. Amen. So faith is what God uses, that is the currency of heaven, to activate his will through you. We must understand what God's will is for our lives. So many believers are lost. What does God want from me? What is God's will for my life? I'm going to help you this morning. It is extremely easy. We all have the same base calling. We all have the same base purpose, and that is the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. I said, they shall cast out devils. Yeah. I said, they shall cast out devils. Yeah. They shall speak with new tongues. Yeah. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they might recover. Yeah. No, that wasn't right. No. Not they might recover. No. Is that what's the Bible say? Yeah. They will recover. You see, but the problem is not God's problem. The problem is, until the church actually believes what we're called to do and what God's will is, until you are convinced in the will of God, you will never step in faith. You will only pray in hope. And come on now, compassion. But people don't need compassion. They need action. They need someone to know what they believe. They need someone to stand upon the word. They need someone who will declare the truth, and the truth shall make them free. You see, today I want to remind you what Jesus did while he was on this planet. Turn to somebody and say, do what Jesus did. Tell somebody else, do what Jesus did. Now, I don't know about you, but this is why we're here. We're here to do what Jesus did. While Jesus was on the earth, how many Jesuses were there? But when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, he then sent the Holy Ghost, John chapter 14 and 16. Now, when you get saved, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of Christ. So as Christ dwells inside of you and we allow our spirit to rule our lives and our flesh to come into subjection, then what happens is the life of Christ, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith in the Son of God. So the transition when you get born again, as you are in the new covenant, is not that you're just going to heaven, but that God by his spirit, the one who brooded over the earth at creation, the one who rose Jesus from the dead, the one who anointed Christ, Christos, the anointed one, dwells inside of you. And you and I are not weak people just hoping to crest this world and go into eternity, but we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Jesus. Everything that Jesus has, you have. Everything that Jesus could do, you can do. And it's time for the church to start believing it so we can do the will of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Isaiah 43 verse 19 is our verse for the year. As we are changing forward, listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. It's going to happen quick. Will you not be aware of it? Which means people will not be. People are going to miss this. People in this church will miss this. People in this church will hear the gospel preached. We'll hear the message that we're preaching from the pulpit. Hear the word of God, and they'll not do the word of God. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to do it. Turn to someone and say, be a doer. The Bible says, be not only hearers, but doers of the word. Do you want to have some excitement in your life? Start doing the will of God. Are you bored with Christianity? Do the will of God. Do what Jesus did. If you do what Jesus did, you'll never be bored. If you do what Jesus did, you'll never be bored. So if you're bored in your walk with God, it's because you're not walking tight enough, which means you're not doing what Jesus did. You're only going along for the ride to get to heaven. Come on now, say amen or oh my. The Bible says, I will put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, which talks miracles. That's all he's saying in these last two sentences. I'm going to do what is impossible with man. I'm going to do what is not possible for mankind to accomplish. I'm going to put a river in the desert, and I'm going to put a road in the wilderness. God will do miracles as long as the church is ready to do the new thing. And this new thing is something that's not really new. I call it the new old thing. Because the word of God hasn't changed. Well, you know, we are living in 2021. We need to be relative. No, you have relatives. You don't need relative. You need the word of God. You need to know what you believed and you be persuaded. You need to know what you believe and start living it. Say, can I hear an amen? Amen. John 14, verse 12. I'm almost through my introduction. It must be the anointing of Kenneth Copeland. Hallelujah. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Here it is, and even greater works, because I'm going to the Father. Not greater in the capacity of better, because what greater things than raising somebody from the dead, but greater in the amounts. You see, the amounts should increase because one Christ walking on the planet was one thing. He could only be in one place at one time. But now that you are the people of God and Christos, the anointed one, is dwelling inside of you, that means now Christ is in many locations at one time, manifesting through flesh to accomplish heaven's bidding on earth. But if the church does not know who they are, they do not know and understand their calling, then we just go to work. But you're not going to work. You're not going to Wally World. You're not going to Target. You're not going to the archery shop. You're not going hunting. You are people that are sent on a mission of God. You are called and anointed to do God's will, to bring change and transmission of heaven to earth so that God's glory will be seen over the entire planet. But God can't do that if you don't believe it. Can I hear an amen? So it's not a new thing. It's a new old thing. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, there's nothing new under the sun. But there are times that the resurrection and the life, Jesus, needs to breathe again on the body of Christ to remind us why we are here. Do you realize this? That if every single one of us actually believe this, actually believe who we're called to be, actually do what we're called to do, then this building will be too small in 1 month. It is that simple. There's the difference. Good message, preacher. Boy, that stirred me up. I don't care about stirring. I want to pour you out. It's one thing to get stirred up. It's another thing to get poured out. The poured out means that you give what you got. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. They gave what they had. They didn't keep it for themselves. God is calling us to be givers. It is his very nature. For God so loved the world that he gave. This is the nature of heaven, not to receive and just encapsulate, but to pour out to give, because that is the nature of who our God is. And I want to remind you what Jesus did. Jesus did two things. Shout two things. Shout two things. He preached the gospel and he healed the sick. I want you to know that you all have different jobs on the planet. Some of you are CEOs. Some of you own your own company. Some of you are housewives. Some of you are house husbands. Some of you are in college. Some of you are architects. Some of you are carpenters. Some of you, and we can go through the list of all that we are in this room. But all of that is subjective to who you are first in heaven. Because I want to remind you, spiritual is first, natural is second. And the call that God has on us is all the same. And that is to do what Jesus did. We are to share the good news that Jesus Christ came and died on a cross, that he rose again on the third day, that no matter what sins you have, no matter what you have done, the loving Savior, the merciful King, if you call upon his name, he'll wash you clean. He'll make you new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not joining a church. It's not joining a religion. It's having the supernatural God of creation bring you into his family, transition, transform, and make you a new person so that you know you're going to heaven, but not just going to heaven. You know why you're here on earth. Come on, say amen. So Christ has to breathe again on his church. This is that new thing we're talking about. This is that changing forward that we're talking about. So many of us have been good Christians. No, I'm not talking bad. I'm talking you're good Christians. You love God. You're not a bad person. You're not out committing sin. You're not out blaspheming. You're not out doing nasty stuff. You love God, but you're still not doing God's will. That got quiet, didn't it? You can love God, but God is calling you to do his will. What is the will of God? It's simple. Share the good news and heal the sick. The church isn't being taught. We've already explained. We've gone 2 to 3 weeks on how to share your faith with somebody, how to share your testimony, how to lead someone to Jesus. We've given you tools with that QR code, and I believe now they actually have big cards that you're going to be available. Are they available in the back? Yes? They'll be available. Can we have all the ushers make sure they're passed out for people that want them? This big QR code card that you can literally share the gospel with people. It's very simple, very exciting, great tool. We've already explained that. But there's not just sharing the gospel, it's healing the sick. Turn to someone and say, God has called me,
to use me
as a vessel
to heal the sick.
Tell somebody, I'm not the healer. But the healer works through me. If you don't believe that, then what happens is this. Then people are going to die before their time. People are not going to hear the gospel because they're not believers. And until they see a moving of the Spirit of the Lord, they won't believe. So the church that is inactive, and you and I being the church, this is not the church, this is a building. It could burn tomorrow. The church hasn't burned. The building has burned. Are you out there? But if the church does not do their job for all of our excuses, now remember, every time you use an excuse, you're trying to validate why you don't. Say it one more time. Every time you use an excuse, ultimately all you're striving to do is validate yourself in why you don't obey God. Supposed to say that with a smile. In these last days, and if you don't believe we're in the last days, then you don't read the Bible. In these last days, and the trumpet of God could sound today, there's no more prophecies left to be fulfilled. If you knew that Jesus was coming at 2 o'clock this afternoon, who would you tell the gospel to? Now, they might be sick.
And sometimes people have just never really experienced or seen a move of the Holy Spirit. They've not seen a miracle. They've not had or participated with a healing. Now, in this church, healings happen every single week. I could show you, I could pop right now and ask, and we'd probably have 10 people stand up easy and declare how God has done a miracle physically in their life. Miracle, and I think it would be actually, it would take the rest of the service, if not two services, to share all the testimonies of the miracles and the signs and wonders that we've seen in this building. But I love the fact that signs and wonders are done in the building, but I love the fact more when signs and wonders are done at your job during your break or your lunch hour, not your paid hours. And all the business owners said, amen. But you can't and will not pray for sick folk if you don't believe it's God's will. You can only pray in hope. So many believers put more faith in their circumstances, more faith in their experiences than they do in the Word of God. Well, you know, I knew Aunt Lucy. She was a good lady. We prayed, but she died. Listen, I'm sad for Aunt Lucy. If she's born again, she's not sad. But don't use Aunt Lucy as an excuse to say that God doesn't heal anymore. Amen. Because God's word doesn't change because of your experience. You do not have the right, I do not have the right to rewrite the Bible because of our experiences. There is either an absolute truth with an absolute authority or there isn't. If there isn't, then let's stop playing religion. Let's go home and live like hell. But if God's word is true as it is, then each one of us have to come to a level of faith to believe that if God said it, it is so, no matter what. Until you come to that reality, then you and I will not be able to pray in faith. We'll pray in hope. I've prayed for so many people just like this. Come here there, young man. I know you need prayer because you got a New York Yankees hat on. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, if it be your will, we pray that you'll heal, buddy. Oh, God, if it be your will. You can shake someone's head. Ah! You can pray all you want, but if you don't believe it's God's will, then you're just praying in faith. Excuse me, praying in hope. I hope it works. Hope it works. People come up to me and they go, I say, what do you want? And they say, well, I'm praying for such and such. I'm hoping I'm going to get it. Well, I don't even pray for them. I do a little courtesy prayer. Beep. But they ain't getting nothing. Bible says in the book of James that if you don't believe, then you're like the wave of the sea driven and tossed and don't expect anything that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. Listen now, there's going to come a time in your life that you don't have the convenience of vacillation. You don't have the convenience of being a person that hopes. You're going to have a faith that you can stand upon. I accidentally spit on you. Sorry. It was during my preaching. I love my buddy. What'd you say?
Huh?
What'd you say?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
Nothing, I love you too.
Thank you. Until you believe that it is God's will. Well, you know, I believe God is trying to teach me a spiritual lesson. Then why would you go to the doctor? Why would you try to stop God's will in your life? Why would you take Tylenol? Why would you take something stronger than Tylenol? If you actually believe that sickness is from the Lord, then you're trying to stop God's will in your life. If you're taking medication, you heard Pastor Cody say it last week. If you actually believe that it's God's will for people to be sick and not healed, then why in the world would, what? Every doctor and nurse is devilish. You'd have to believe that, because what do? And every preacher too that believes in healing, they're trying to get you healthy. So if you believe that it's God's will that you're sick, then the doctors, the nurses, and the preachers are all working for the devil, trying to stop God's will in your life. You and I all know that's just asinine. Even saying it, you're going, duh. You got to make a decision in your life that God's word is true. And God said, lay hands on the sick and they, lay hands on the sick and they, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Turn to someone and say, God's getting ready to use me to cure cancer. So many believers hold the C word above the J word. They have more faith in cancer that it will do what the doctors say it will do, what science has said it will do, than the Jesus who says what he will do to cancer. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Ah, the name of cancer has got to bow its knee to Jesus Christ, for the power of God heals the sick. Say amen. God's getting ready to use you. Well, it's good for you to show up. God's getting ready to use you to open a blind eye. Huh? A blind eye? How about somebody who's deaf? God wants to use you. Well, now that's what Brother Shuttlesworth is for. No, that's what you're for. God wants to use you to heal somebody of cancer. He wants to work through you. You and I aren't the healer. We can't heal the wing on a fly. But God works through people. And God, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, wants to release the power of heaven into someone's life, that cancer will shrivel up and die. Can I hear it? Amen. I declare it right now in Jesus' name, that if there's cancer in this room, you foul devil of hell, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of the body of the children of God. You are trespassing. That is private property. We are God's property. We are God's kingdom. We bind you, cancer, in the name of Jesus, either on the body or in the body. You are cursed, and command you to come out. God wants to use you to do the supernatural. God wants to use you to heal somebody's leg, somebody's knee, someone's nose, someone's toes, someone's earlobe. Somebody needs a healed earlobe. Hallelujah. I see that. Someone, when you were younger, you were actually, and I don't know if you're online or in the room, you went and got an earring and you went gauges. And your ear doesn't seem to be, it won't shrink up, they tell you. I declare in the name of Jesus, you're going to wake up one morning and your ear lobe will be brand new and perfect in Jesus' name. Jesus loves doing creative miracles. He loves healing your organs. Come on now, say amen. He wants to give you a new lung, a new heart, a new liver, a new bowel. God wants to use you to use that in somebody else's life. Jesus sent us to work for him. Turn to someone and say, I work for heaven. Your first employer is God. Amen. Amen. Your second employer is whoever you're working for. You do all things as unto the Lord. You work for your boss. You work for your company. You do it like you're working for Jesus, because you are. Say amen. Amen. But God has called you to work for heaven. When the church gets this, he only needed 12 to start off with. He actually used a deacon, Philip, to change an entire city called Samaria. The Bible says that Philip went into Samaria, preached the gospel, preached, and then healed the sick, and great joy came on the city. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Can I hear an amen? Turn to somebody and say, I've been called to share the gospel and heal the sick. Now, it's one thing to act like something you're not. But it's another thing not to act in who you are. I got to say it again. It's one thing to act like something you're not. That's called pride. But it's another thing to not act like who you are. That also is called pride. If we will do what God has called us to do, it is true humility. True humility is knowing who you are and living in it. When you and I live in who God has called us to be, we will preach and we will heal. We will preach and we will heal. We will give the gospel and we'll heal the sick. We'll give the gospel and cast out devils. We'll do the will of God as he did. We will do what Jesus did on this planet. God has called us to live in the authority that he has granted us. Can you imagine being given authority and never using it? You're a police officer. You've been given authority by New York State. Pull over people that are speeding and pull over drunk drivers and dangerous folk. Someone drives by you at 120 miles an hour and you said, that's bad. And you stayed in your car. Someone's driving and they're so drunk they can't stay on the road. You're in your car, and you said, that's bad. Someone should pull them over. What's going to happen? You're going to lose your job. Yeah. Why? Because you're not doing what you're called to do. Not that you're doing it in your authority, but you're doing it in the authority that's backing you up. What is the authority? New York State says, I commissioned you to help keep the laws, to keep the laws of the road, to keep the laws of New York State. We commission you. We give you authority to act on our behalf, to do what we would do if we could be in all places at one time. But because the governor, which one do we have? Sorry, this is not a political church. Because the whichever governor is there can't be everywhere at one time. They have appointed officers. God can be everywhere at one time, but he knew this. I need a body to work through. So I'm going to appoint people to act on my behalf, and I'm going to give them heaven's authority to do what I would do if I was there in person. That's you. The issue isn't that we've been granted authority. The issue is most Christians don't believe it. And because we don't believe it, we just watch the drunk driver drive by. We just watch a 120 mile an hour car go past us. And we go, wow, someone should stop them. Someone should help them. Someone should do something. And God is saying, you! Josh, did I scare you? You jumped. No. You! I've called you to make the difference. I've called you and appointed you to share my good news that will get somebody out of hell and into heaven. That's another problem. It's too many believers don't actually believe that if you die, you either go to heaven or hell. And remember, hell is just a holding tank. You are then regurgitated into the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. If we actually believe that when someone dies, I always ask this question, someone posts online, I will always ask it usually privately, did they go to heaven? And then they say, I don't know. Why don't you know? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. If you actually believe that someone, when they take their last breath and they go into eternity, if they do not know Christ as their Savior, if they are not washed by the blood of Jesus, if they have not called on the name of the Lord, I don't care how many times you've gone to church. I don't care what religious tag you carry. I don't care if you've been baptized as a baby or baptized as an adult. I want you to know, without Jesus Christ being the Lord of your life, you are not going to heaven. It is not an all-inclusive trip. If we believe that, then we believe our authority that God has asked us to live within is for a reason. No one gives you authority just to say, hey, have fun. There's a job with the authority. If you don't do the job, you don't need the authority. We ask why so many Christians don't have any power. It's not that the power isn't available. It's that they're not using what they've been given. Well, I prayed for somebody and they died. I prayed for people and they died. But then I prayed for many people and they've been healed. Well, I don't understand. You haven't been called to understand. You've been called to obey. Shazam. Remember when I was on the road as an evangelist traveling all over, and really what we did was we did miracle service. We saw so many miracles. I kept a memoir of majority of the miracles. I mean, when I read through them, it's everything that you could ever imagine. I've seen all those miracles. But if I never prayed, I remember one time I prayed for somebody and they didn't seem to get nothing. And I called Brother Ted and I said, Brother Ted, nothing happened. He says, how do you know? How do you know nothing happened? Well, I didn't see nothing. I walked by faith and not by sight, he said. He said, I'm not the healer. I've been called to lay hands on the sick, release the anointing. And it's the anointing of God that does the work, not you. And you might not see, come on now, we got a song. You might not see him working, but he's still working. When the anointing is released, the anointing is to do work on behalf of heaven. The anointing is the power of God that will break down and bring healing and bring restoration, bring a supernatural experience. But it might not happen at that second, but God is still moving if you've done it. I got to hustle. I'm really late. Don't be careful now. People hate you for when you say those things. But I love you. Turn to someone and say, I've been given authority to share the good news and to heal the sick. We'll say it again. I've been given authority by God Himself, by heaven itself. When I declare it, heaven backs me to share the good news and to heal the sick. In Jesus' name. That's who you are. Until you believe that, you won't see it. Well, I don't know. I got to see it first. Well, that's not faith. Faith isn't I don't believe it till I see it. Faith is I see it before I believe it. Excuse me, I believe it before I see it. Calling those things which are not as though they already are. We've got to make a decision in our life at some point in time. I know we all want to go to heaven, and that's an awesome thing. How many of you know it's a good thing to go to heaven? How many of you want to just go to hell? I saw you raise your hand in that. No one wants. I don't blame you for wanting to go to heaven, but how many of you know you're not dead yet? I know some of you it might be. But if you're not dead, if you're breathing, turn to someone and say, I think I've got breath. If you said it, you do. That means you've been left here for such a time as this. But I've got so many problems. That's the problem. You're focusing more on your problems than you are helping somebody else. The Bible says what you do for somebody else, God will do for you. I just sense the anointing this morning now. I wish that was in my notes. Hopefully I remember it for second service. I'm going to read a bunch of verses for you. Ready? Matthew 16, 18 through 19. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. The word power there is dunamis. And authority. The word authority is exousia. He's given not just power, but he's given you the authority. If you have the power but no authority, you can't get any work done. But if you have authority with no power, you still can't get any work done. But God has given you authority and power to get heaven's work done. Am I boring you? Luke 10, 19 and 20. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. John 14, 10 through 14. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Who does the work? The Father does the work. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. Who did the work? The Father did the work through him. It's not you. It's him. But he needs someone to work through. And he needs faith to believe that if you do it, that God will work heaven through you. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Matthew 8, 28, 19, 18 and 19, excuse me, 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark 16, 17 through 18. And these signs shall follow them that. 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 Nah, you're still too weak. I said, these signs shall follow them that. I actually heard them louder on live stream. These signs shall follow them that. Notice, this is the key to the kingdom. If you don't believe who you are, you'll never do who you are. If you don't believe who you are, heaven can't work through you. Doesn't mean you won't go to heaven, but how selfish is it to go by yourself? I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. Ready? The person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. Well, I don't want to offend them. Out of hell, number 1, 2, or 3. It's a stupid statement. You don't want to offend them. How will they know unless somebody is sent? And if they're sick, for goodness sakes, you want to see a convincing? Lay hands on somebody that's sick and God heals them and have them try to doubt it. Then what are they gonna say? I guess he's real. I think I want him. He's a good God and greatly to be praised. Amen? Come on now, I know I'm preaching good. I'll preach to myself. My problem is I can preach forever on this stuff because I just really do believe who you are. Can I just be straight? If I didn't actually believe this, do you think I'd be stupid enough to be a preacher? Look, watch this. I'll even make it better. Stupid enough to be a preacher in the North? If I didn't believe who God called you to be, do you think I'd preach this message? No, you know what I'd preach? God is good all the time. Father, bless our food. Amen. You'd be out in 15 minutes. But I'm going to subject you to 3 hours worth of teaching. I'm sorry, Father, for I have lied. Amen. Just simply because if you don't get this, people are not going to heaven. No, I got to say it again. If you don't actually believe that it's God's will to save and God's will to heal, and if somebody dies that does not know Jesus, they do not go to heaven, there is no purgatory according to Scripture, that's just good religion, that once they're in hell, they are tortured, not because God's torturing them, but because they made a choice to die for their own sins. God sends no one to hell. We send ourselves because we make a choice. I don't want to serve the living God while I'm here. I choose to pay my own price for sin. If you don't believe that, then you won't tell anybody. Do you know the average church sees less than one person saved a year? And let's be honest. There's well over 1,000 people that come to this church every month. But the majority of people that aren't here, and I'm not talking those that are doing their normal every once in a while vacation, but they've traded the gospel out for sensual pleasure. And I'm not talking sex. I'm talking like just to please their flesh. And they can't understand why they're not growing in Christ. You got to make a decision in your life. You're going to follow Jesus or not. Come on now, pooper, get off the pot. Say amen or oh my.
Amen.
Well, you shouldn't talk to us that way. I know the guy who talked to me that way. He looked at me March 13th, 1983, at approximately 11:31. He said, get in, Spencer, or get out. Stop playing religion. Stop playing church. Get in or get out. And I said, no one's going to tell me to get out. I've got to stop. I didn't even get to the sermon yet. Next week, we'll continue. You know what I'm praying for you and me? A continued reality check. You ever like wake up in the middle of your day? No, and I'm not talking like you're sleepwalking, but you are. You know what I mean? You know, it's like every once in a while I wake up while I'm preaching. No, seriously. I'll be preaching and I'll be really in, and then I'll look up at the screen and see myself, and it's like, boy, you're chunky. Wake up. It's almost like so many people walk in fog. You know what's really weird this morning? I live in the town of Aaron. Like, I live out there, brothers and sisters, where the deer and the antelope play. The bear are out there. Fisher cats are out there. I'm talking like neighbors are out there every once in a while. This morning, I got in the truck and went up the big hill, Marsh Road. Yeah, come on now. I have identifications over here. I get up the top of the hill, and I start coming into Horse. It's beautiful. Like, the sun is up. It's gorgeous out. And then I start coming into Breezeport, and the fog comes out of nowhere. And it gets foggier and foggier, and I'm getting to the church parking lot, and it's all foggy. And I said, that's weird. But is it any more weird than being a Christian and walking in a fog of really not knowing who you are or why you're here? It's not the destination. You're on the journey. And you're on the journey because God needs you. Listen, if God don't need you, you don't need to be here. But you're still sucking air because your job's not done. Somebody's not going to heaven without you. They need you to share and pray. And I want you to know, we're going to get into it more next week, about healing the sick. You got to know there's power in your hands. This power in your spirit. We're going to preach also this year on how to cast out demons. We're going to teach you about demons, how to cast them out. Because you think they're not here? No, in America, they just hide because the Christians don't get it. So they can do what they want under disguise and no one reveals them. We're going to cast some out. Maybe yours. But you got to believe it. You got to believe who you are. You got to believe who you are, that you're here for reason and purpose. There might only be one more person on this planet that you are to touch, but without you, they won't go to heaven. You need to know how important you are. Can I pray? I have to because it's very late. I'm going to pray for no collisions in the parking lot. And I'm going to pray for our awakening for us. God has placed us here as a church. You do have to, if you're not from here, you have to grasp what's happened here. It is truly divine. To have a church like this in Horse of Heads, New York. The closest church like this near us, the closest church is Rochester or Syracuse. There's nothing else like this. It's a very unique church, very unique people. And he's put us here for a reason. I believe Jesus loves Elmira. I believe Jesus loves Watkins Glen. I believe Jesus loves Corning. I believe Jesus loves Southside. I believe that Jesus loves Lawrenceville. I believe that Jesus loves, I believe he even loves Aaron, New York. Oh, please, please, please get this. But the only way they're going to know that is through you. You're it. You're the only plan God has. And if you don't know how important your life is, then we just live selfish lives. We just suck air and hope that one day we'll see Christ face to face. I can't live that way. My life isn't always easy. Well, you're the preacher. I've gone through hell and back in the last 3 years. But after you've done all you can do to stand, stand there for. Why? Because I'm here for a reason. When you have reason, you have destination. If you have no reason, you're wandering. You're just trying to make a few bucks, have a few babies, live in a nice house, and leave an insurance policy. Watch, no one will remember you. People won't remember you. If you have nothing to live for, people never remember you. I want to be remembered. And not for me to be remembered, but I want them to say, in 50 years, will I be alive? Hold on, 120. Nope. Oh, yeah. So 60 years. No, that's still 60. I'll do 75. That brings me into the 130-ish. Yeah, you're older than I am. That's all I got to say. It's my sister. Like, not my church sister, my sister's sister. I want them to say, there was this guy who actually believed the Bible. He was a real jerk sometimes. But he always told the truth. I didn't like him. He made me mad when I went to church that time. But he always told the truth. It's not my truth. It's his truth. I love you. And I want you to be who God's called you to be. You'll be happier, by the way. You'll be more fulfilled, by the way. You'll have more purpose, by the way. And when you take your last breath, you don't have to regret. Well done! Would you feel that anointing? Well done! Thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. We don't got time to rest now. I'm proving that. I need a nap. We got a lot to do. There are a lot of people not going to heaven right here. That's why we're here. Some of your family members, some of your babies, some of your moms and dads, some of your friends you've loved for a long time. They're closer to you than family. And some people you've never met a day in your life. If you're a biker, we've had 5 deaths in 2 weeks. Not one, when they got on the bike, ever thought that they weren't coming home. But today, they're in eternity. If you died today, where will you go? Not because you're a good person, but because you let somebody else pay the price for sin for you. Will you go to heaven because you know Jesus? Because that's the only way. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're watching online. Deb, you're one of the best camera ladies I've ever had. Thank you so much. She stands up there the whole time. She's a great lady. There's an anointing to do that. If you're watching on live stream right now, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Come on, you might not like me. I don't care if you like me. I've been sent here for you to like me. I'm not called here to be your buddy. I'm called here to preach the word. Today, if you do not know Jesus in the room or online and you want Christ to be the Lord of your life, you want to start this adventure of living for God, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. Now remember, if no one raises their hand, then I go for your throat as believers. Means you aren't doing your job. You don't love people enough. If you ask 5 people, statistically, at least 2 or 3 will come, which means you probably haven't asked anybody this week. Is there a... Told you weren't going to like me. But I'm telling you the truth. Well, I've asked them and they said no. Then ask somebody else. They're going to stand for God. And you know what's going to happen? That day they stand in front of the Lord, God's going to say, I sent my servant Deb to you on this day And at this minute of that day, I told her to share with you about me. And she did it. And you made a choice and said, no, I'd rather pay for my own sin. 10:47 and 18 seconds. August 15th. I send my servant, Michael Spencer, to preach this message, and he gave you an opportunity, and you said, no, I'm paying for my own sins. Our job's not to convert them. Our job is to share with them. And then if you lay hands on them, God will heal them, confirming his word preached. One more time, I'm going to ask you, if you're in the room, if you're online and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want him to be the Lord of your life, you want him to pay for your sins instead of you, I want you to slide your hand up right now. You're not right with God, you know it, and you need to get right with Jesus. 5, 4, 3, 2, thank you, ma'am. Very proud of you. Responding to the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, why do you always count? Because it might be your last 5. Don't try to scare the hell out of me. I don't know. Some are saved by fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We got to recognize that we don't choose when we want Jesus. We respond when Jesus is calling us. Whoa. That's a whole nother sermon. If you're online and you want to get right with God, I want you to dial 97000, type in I am saved. Someone's going to get in touch with you. We're going to get you a Bible. We're going to get you solid, grow up in Christ. Let's all stand to our feet. It's only been an hour. I'm 2 hours under Kenneth Copeland. Me too. It'd have to be second service. I love my team. They have to write notes for me because I forget otherwise. And they put Krispy Kreme donut sign up here to draw my attention. If you raise your hand for salvation, this is Mindy. Mindy on a fluorescent pink outfit this morning. Very nice. She's given me some beautiful grandchildren, maybe 6 or 7 more. Hallelujah. But if you raise your hand for salvation right when we release the service, I'd like you to come meet Mindy. If you didn't raise your hand, your moment's not over. God's still drawing you. Get on up here. We want to make sure that you're right with Jesus. Amen. Now, here we go. I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a supernatural revival. God, you can only revive what was once alive. Oh, God, revive us. Revive us to love people. Revive us to obey. Revive us to move in our purpose and our design. Revive us, oh God. Revive your church. Breathe on us, oh God. Jesus, as we share your gospel and lay hands on sick folk, I thank you that your word is true. You spoke it as a promise and you gave your oath. And we pray for the sick, they shall recover. We declare, God, cancer will shrivel up and die under our hands. We declare blind eyes even will be recreated under our hands. We declare in the name of Jesus, deaf ears, that Lord, even creation within the eardrums. God, we declare that even the dead will rise. Jesus, you did it. We will do what you do for your glory and honor. Bless us as we go this week. Use us, oh God. Let us lead at least one soul to you this week, Jesus, for your name's sake. We thank you for the privilege of being called children of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you. Have an awesome week. Please be careful in the parking lot. Don't hit anybody. We love you. Have a good day.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something